Hello and welcome to another PieCast here in the bunker of Pi and Hi-Fi, part of the sprawling empire which is Pi and Vinyl. I'm James Sandy and I'm joined yet again by Steve.
Hello, Merry Christmas.
How lovely. And Rad.
Ho, ho, ho.
Now Rad, of all of us, of the three of us, Rad looks most like Father Christmas, if you can imagine him in the lumberjack industry. But we'll try and get a picture of that somewhere online.
Well, what do you think Father Christmas does for the rest of the year? You know, he's only got a job for a month, hasn't he?
Exactly.
Something like that.
Logging and blogging, I imagine.
Blogging.
Now, we've got lots to get through in this podcast. We've got, a wash-up, if you like, of the kind of stuff that's been going on through 2014. It's hard to believe now. It's December 2014.
Crazy.
We're at the end of another year.
Yeah.
It has been a crazy year. And we're going to start, I think, by talking about some of the things that have been going on in Pi and Vinyl, in the store itself, in Southsea's favourite record cafe.
Yeah.
It's a strap line, but it means something, so it's important to say it. So,
yeah. Thank you, James.
We've had lots of people through the door, lots of musicians, artists, lots of performances. What, for you, Steve, let's start with you, because we always pick on you first.
Yeah, you do. God. What's
been your favourite in-store of the year?
Favourite in-store? We've tried to be as consistent as possible this year and tried to have at least a couple of artists in the shop every month, and it's a big, important part of what we do. So it's really hard to choose. We've been so lucky this year, and the support from the artists that come through the city has been phenomenal. I'm going to pick the biggest one we've probably done, arguably, this year, which was when Frank Turner played in the store, purely because of the buzz of that show. I mean, let's put it into perspective. The night before, the guy played at the O2. The next morning, he comes into Pi and Vinyl to play an in-store, you know, in front of 60 to 70 people.
And for our older listeners, the O2 is now what the Millennium Dome was.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because in the 60s and 70s, it was the Millennium Dome.
Next to the Skylon.
That's right. Yeah. That kind of level of support is pretty mind-blowing. So kudos to Big Frank. And I just enjoyed seeing those fans. And I love a bit of Frank Turner, but seeing some of those guys, you know, they were very passionate about it, and he was a gent, you know, he really was. So he headlined Puts of Guildhall that night, obviously, which for him was considered a fairly small show. So it was a great atmosphere, you know, people were on chairs, I remember that, they were singing every word, and it put a big smile on my face. I've got to say, the most surprising acts we've had, I don't mean this to sound disrespectful by saying surprising how good they were, but
unusually exquisite.
Yes, yeah, a nice surprise. And that was Liz Green. I thought she was kind of talent on a stick. She kind of walked in a bit nervous, a little bit awkward. I just remember this kind of quaver in her voice, and it was really beautiful. I really saw her absolute pure talent shine through. So I enjoyed that.
She has a very unusual vocal.
She does,
yeah.
Very well
tuned, very well polished.
She's an amazing musician, and you could just see this. She put her head in a place, and this raw talent just came out of her, you know. She's an excellent musician.
She was phenomenal, absolutely.
Yeah, it just looked effortless, and it was a voice I'd not really heard before, and she connected with every single person in that room, and yeah, she was a bit of a nervous wreck before. I don't know if you remember.
She was a bit phased, I think, by the venue, I think.
She was, you know, she was very complimentary. She loved the experience. However, the previous night, she was doing a bit of a tour around the country. And I think the day before, she played in front of 7 people. The day before, it was, you know, it was a handful of people. So she was a little bit kind of miffed by that, I guess. So we got a few more people in there. We're trying to make her feel at home. And it was great, yeah, really great. And I just wanted to say I really enjoyed the Smoke Fairies performance as well, because I love their new direction. They're local girls, they're absolutely beautiful and lovely people.
And that's probably the second or third time maybe they've been in Pi and
Vinyl? Yeah, they have, certainly as performers. I mean, we're quite lucky, they do sneak into the shop now and again as customers as well, so when they are in town. So they've just released a beautiful Christmas record. And I like the direction they're going. I think, the kids could have a bigger album onto their arm.
We should keep an eye on them.
Yeah,
I think you're right. I think they're on a trajectory at the moment.
Yeah,
they've been doing stuff in the States and in Canada. And from what I'm kind of picking up, they're doing very well. They're doing, you know, they're still creatively progressing, but they're, you know, they're kind of becoming more popular, more successful.
Definitely,
in a sense,
they're in a nice place.
They deserve.
Absolutely.
Rad, let's come to you next. What about in stores for you? Have you got a favourite that sticks under your beanie?
My favourite in-store, hands down, would be Esmond and the Witch. They played in the store I'd say roughly about 2 months ago now.
And that's a very different record, isn't it, that they've come
out? Oh, very much so, yeah. I mean, the actual performance itself was coincided with the release of their new album, A New Nature. And that, we're all like unanimous in the store. It's a phenomenal record.
It's a great
and it's
record.
Featured quite highly in a lot of the, you know, the ranked lists for the year. Produced by Steve Albini, so you just instantly know that it's going to have something to it that appeals. And yeah, it's so atmospheric, and I think one of the main reasons I love that performance so much was because the atmosphere of the record carried off in the store so well.
Mm.
There were points where you could hear a pin drop, and there were also points where you literally couldn't hear anything.
Mm.
And then afterwards, all you could hear was tinnitus. So you know, it was a really, really nice performance. And I mean, I guess you could argue that they're semi-local as well. I mean, they're Brighton-based, and they're lovely people. Like,
yeah.
We've met them a couple of times now.
It's the same coastline.
To be honest, one of them's from Parkgate, so it's not too far away.
Yeah.
So, just up the road.
The other thing I really liked about it as well, so I think I got the impression that as people that have kind of come up and grown up amongst the skate scene, and there's quite a strong skate scene in Southsea, and a few of our locals pop by, and they obviously recognise one another from the parks, like, of youth. And you could hear, like, Esben and Co, like, sort of talking about how nice it was to see people from the old days from skating and stuff, like, had literally popped their head and come watch their performance.
Did you attempt a kind of Tony Hawk style 720 outside? Or?
I definitely did not.
No,
I was,
okay.
I was somewhat distracted throughout the performance, but not by a skate. So yeah, that was my favourite in-store. But I'd also like to add that Steve told massively, because his favourite in-store performance was The Feeling.
Oh, The Feeling.
That's my second favourite in-store performance.
Yeah.
That was a warm feeling, wasn't it?
It was a warm feeling.
If you had to describe it, I think.
Every
time
he said a surprising one, I thought he was going to pop that one in there. But that would be the wild card for me. I mean, there's probably four or five I could slide into position number two for my favourite in-store performance. But I'm going to put The Feeling in there because.
Oh, good on you. Yeah.
Because I've never been a massive Feeling man. Not really in tune with my feeling.
But now he's feeling The Feeling.
But no, they were absolute gents. They were lovely people. And the dude's voice is phenomenal, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, again, I'm not really into it. I'm not a poppy kind of guy. But as far as pop bands go, phenomenal.
That was
really great. And I love it when, you know, bands come in and perhaps you don't expect them to, I don't know why, but to perhaps appreciate some of the music we sell. But all of them bought a record, you know. They first thing they did is thumb through the records. They couldn't really care less where they were playing that night or whatever, but they absolutely adored the shop. And I was quite lucky. I went to pick them up at the Wedge of Rooms and had them in the car, and yeah, there was no air of pretension. There was no kind of how come a limousine hasn't come to pick me up or whatever. You know, I had the fella that's married to Sophie Ellis-Bextor as well, so could have quite easily have kidnapped him and asked for Sophie as
lucky Steve, you vacuumed the Bentley out that day.
Very lucky.
The in-store that sticks in my head from this year was the one that Samantha Crane did to support her Kid Face album.
Yeah.
And Samantha Crane at the time was someone I didn't really know who she was. I hadn't really picked up on her work or, you know, kind of her style, if you like. And she arrived very late because I think she got stuck on a train somewhere.
She did, bless her, didn't she? Yeah,
so,
yeah.
She came running, literally running down Castle Road. She came. She burst through the door, pushed Rad out the way because he was doing his bouncer duties.
Yeah. See, we did have a full shop as well. Because
it was a full shop.
A
she had a guitar
wanted.
Case. She literally opened the guitar case, tuned up the guitar, and started. She was great with the audience. She was great with the crowd. She got this kind of audience participation, trying to get people to pretend that they were in Manitoba, which I think is where she's from. In Canada, but she was just very, very warm.
She was lovely, wasn't she? A lovely
her work
soul.
And her performance was great. And afterwards, did an interview with her, and she was just very responsive and very open, very, very keen to kind of talk about where she was going and how she got so far. And yeah, just a really good one. In fact, last week I was kind of sitting at home and I thought, I'll just put a disc on, as you do, and I put Kid Face on and I kind of listened to it again. I hadn't listened to it for a couple of months actually. And it's really fresh. It's really, really good. Good record. So it's a
great voice.
Really want to pull out.
Yeah.
If you fancy it. The other one, my second, but again, I can't really put it in second place. But the Magic Numbers. When the Magic Numbers came into the store, again, Magic Numbers were someone I had a vague inkling of who they were and what they did, and that, you know, some of the kind of Forever Young stuff that, you know, you hear on the radio all the time. And you think, well, I don't know about this. It's a bit, maybe it's a bit poppy, a bit mainstream for me. but their set was amazing. They're absolutely amazing. They did a song, Roy Orbison, I think it's called, which is a kind of tribute to the man himself. It was just magic, you know. Yeah. I know that sounds a bit trite saying that because they're the Magic Numbers. There are only three of them. Their drummer, I think, was somewhere missing, or somewhere on a train.
Mm.
It's always the drummer, isn't it, in a band? It's always the drummer.
Yeah.
But they were great, and Romeo, the singer, again, he's very generous in terms of giving time to kind of, you know, talk to us for the interview and for the radio stuff. So that's another one, I think, that will go down in the annals.
Yeah, definitely.
So we move from in stores to taking it a bit wider and taking it out and about, if you like, to our kind of show of the year.
Show of the year.
So, Steve, we'll come back to you because you get out and about more than anybody else.
Yeah, well,
you had the freedom and the obviously the luxury to do that.
I am free.
What kind of shows? What's your favourite show?
Now the shackles, the electronic tag is off my ankle. Yeah, I've got to say, my favourite one of the year so far, again, because it was a bit of a victory and because the band now are doing so well, is the Ricky Fitz launch show. And this was a band that, around this time last year, you know, I met with very provisionally and we spoke about releasing something. I'd seen them play a couple of times and really thought they had something going on and saw some potential there. So actually releasing their EP in May time, to pretty much selling out the Cellars for their launch show. And I was quite proud that, you know, this band from Southsea, and they're a local band, you know, touring headline bands don't sell out, you know, the Cellars easily. And the guys really played hard as well, and I think it was a great event. And we had our other label act, The Boy I Used To Be, they supported. It was a fantastic night. I don't know, I just felt a little bit proud, I guess, because I put a bit of work into that and we'd all come together and made something happen. So
you said that reluctantly, but you're allowed to be proud.
Yeah,
it's
well,
a beautiful thing.
Yeah, hopefully there'd be prouder moments along the way. But yeah, I enjoyed that immensely because kind of saw something in them, and it was nice to see them kind of fulfil that in a way.
I think it's one of those things. I think again, it's one of those things that people miss sometimes about Pine Vinyl, and it's testament to kind of the ethos, I think, of the store. Let's call it the store.
Yeah,
is that you're very receptive in terms of trying to pick up not just local acts, but acts that are kind of getting up the ladder, getting on the step, and nurturing that talent. And I think it's kind of, people shouldn't underestimate the kind of the social value of that.
Well, thanks, James. Thanks for mentioning that, because it's hugely important to what we do. And you know, we do want to be integral to the local music community, and we do believe the talent's out there, and we really hope that one day one of them breaks through. And then if one breaks through, there's a strong pool of acts that can come through, and then suddenly everyone's talking about Portsmouth and what a great city and what a great music scene it's got, which I truly believe it deserves. So
and that's definitely the right route, I think, that the kind of grassroots approach.
We'll only ever release local artists,
yeah,
certainly in this very early stages of the business, but we are out, you know, and that's a great thing. We are all music fans, you know.
Yeah.
It's a fact, and we're out there watching bands a lot, and certainly local bands, so we keep our ear to the floor in more than one way, yeah.
Rad, let's come to you next.
Okay, shows. Yeah, another Cellars show, Easy Cellars, Dizzy Death Rays. We put on Dizzy Death Rays, I think it was in June time, and it was one of the early shows we hosted down there. And they're great guys to work with down at the Cellars. The sound in there is awesome.
It's a great venue, isn't it? I think it bills itself as Portsmouth's largest small venue or something. I think that's the strapline. And I think we should probably give Steve Pitt a mention, you know, who's kind of carried a lot of the...
He has, a lot
of things forward. So, yeah, I mean, it is a great place for a band to play, and a real good experience as well.
Lovely spot for the summer as well. I mean, we kind of made a right day of it, and you know, we took pie on tour and served pie there, and the bands were hanging out in the beer garden, the fans
were hanging
out in the beer garden.
Yeah.
And again, we had Ricky Fitz support, which was awesome, because you just watched those two bands like gel straight away and just hit it off. And Dizzy Death Rays ended up taking Ricky Fitz off in support for a few of their dates, which I was lucky enough to go along to. And I don't know, but Dizzy Death Rays might have popped up on my radar and then disappeared, like, you know, like a random kind of squid blip. But if it weren't for that show, but you know, we attended. It was good fun, and yeah, I love their album. Black Rats are really, really. To call out,
returns
to my turntable on a regular basis. You know, and I guess other pop trivia, like they played again for Southsea Fest, and I think they supported Pulled Apart by Horses in the Wedgwood Rooms, and literally I think a week ago opened a box with a Christmas single in it. side A, Dizzy Death Ray, side B, Pulled Apart by Horses doing Christmas covers. And I just thought to myself, there's no way that this seven didn't get made. The decision for this 7-inch didn't get made in the dressing room at the wedding room somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was kind of fun as well.
You should write that down. You should document that for your memoirs, because that's an important juncture, I think.
There we are. Yeah. Well, you know, and I guess if I had to pick like a close second to that, it would probably be... And I'm dubious about saying the actual name of this band.
Easy.
So we'll go via the moniker they were given on the day.
All right.
But for the Castle Road Christmas fete, Staff Tips. Their performance. Their performance on that day was and that one I'll keep close to my heart. That little performance, because if you know me at all well, you'll probably will have seen on my Facebook. There's a video of my my younger self, my son. Absolutely rocking out.
It's not mini me
to that band. And so I think he loved them arguably a bit more than I do. So yeah, that was
in the genes.
Yeah,
that was a great show.
It's the acid test for the label now. We just get Sonny along. If he dances, we're interested. If he doesn't, then we'll move on.
If he shouts no,
well, I don't think there's a greater test on earth than that.
It's very simple but very effective. Yeah.
Okay, let's move on now. We're going to talk about the event of the year. You're listening to the Piecast, coming to you from Pi and Hi-Fi, part of the Pi and Vinyl Empire.
Yeah.
I'm going to big it up.
Like a Roman Empire. Watch out, everyone. The new Woolworths, so watch out.
Easy tigers. We're going to move to events, which is, I suppose, linked to shows and kind of activities and things. I was saying earlier that, you know, I don't get out and about to many gigs anymore due to various reasons, but one performance I saw, it was part of an event, part of Record Store Day, which was April the 19th, I think, in 2014.
Fantastic day, yeah.
Great day. I saw Young Knives performing on the stage outside Pi and Vinyl.
Yeah.
Again, a band not really on my radar, so I'd heard of, didn't really know much of their stuff, but they were great. They rocked it, if I can say that, without aging myself.
You've done that, but yeah.
And they were great to the point where they were heckled by a rather rude man that went past on a bicycle. Down a road that was closed for pedestrians.
Mm.
He went past, he went, "Oh, you're rubbish," or something. The whole crowd turned on the man on the bicycle and said, "Go away, heathen," or whatever. And they were great. They were really, really, really good performance.
I can't believe he cycled. It was absolutely packed, wasn't it? How did he cycle down?
How he managed it, I don't know. If you're listening, sir, never again, please.
Yeah.
It was great for me. Dave, Alan and myself were out and about on Record Store Day from fairly early in the morning.
Mm.
And there was a big queue outside of the store for all of the kind of fabulous limited releases that came out, especially for that day. It was great for me because growing up, I had seen many a Radio 1 roadshow. And it had the element of that, but without the crowds or the salary or the fame. But I didn't enter into that. Genuinely, most of the people I spoke to, they were really kind of engaged with Record Store Day. They all had a very personal story and personal interest in something that they were after. There was some tension in the queue. It was really, really good where you talk to some person, you know, like number 10 in the queue who was after one thing.
Yeah.
Number 20 in the queue was after the same thing. Mm. So, you know, had to be very diplomatic and very careful. You can catch the podcast that we recorded, the podcast from the day, on the show's archive, which you can find on the Pi and Vinyl website. But Brad, let's come to you for an event of the year.
I think my favourite event of the year was the BBC Six Music Festival. I believe it was the first one that the BBC Six hosted. And I mean, you know, obviously second to James's contribution to the airwaves.
Kind of you to say so.
You know, it's a great station. You know, and I think they're single-handedly responsible for keeping independent music on the airwaves, you know,
they play
stuff that other stations would not dare go near, and massive kudos and respect to them for that. And you know, they kindly invited us to go up and take part in their festival fringe, which was interesting as well. You know, like a segmented area separate from the actual musical side of the festival, an area where you can kind of go and, you know, there was various different independent record retailers there, which was nice. We got to rub shoulders with some brothers and sisters of the trade,
with
the guys from the Music Exchange. They were lovely. I think our store was pitched directly next to Piccadilly Records of Manchester, and those guys have been doing what they've been doing for a long, long time.
Yeah, some real heritage.
And then, of course, you know, Rob Litchfield's famed performance of Bruce Springsteen, which I'll never forget. I often watch that video before I go to sleep at night. And, you know, if I had a bad day,
No, our price or Andy's record stores stalls there, unfortunately, were there?
No, there weren't.
They seem to have disappeared.
No, they were Rough Trade. They were there.
I've heard of them. They were popular.
They were there, but
sort of there, weren't they? Like,
sort of there, sort of there. But yeah, it was fantastic. It really was. It's still we still get great feedback, and we recently had some good feedback from the BBC saying that after a debrief or a discussion, I mean, hopefully it will take place again next year, that we were still considered one of the highlights of the whole event and one of the things that people remember. So it's fantastic. We put a lot of work into that. And that was truly our first outside event. And bearing in mind, this summer has been quite big for us for outside festivals and really has been treated like a toe in the water, really. And just to see how we got on. And that really set the tone for the whole summer. And we've not really looked back, which is great.
I think that's great, and I think that's a really positive association because, you know, Six is, in terms of it being a national radio station, you look at the lists and it's probably sort of number six, number seven on the list in terms of listenership. Look at it as an international radio station, it's way up there in the top three, and it's amazing, actually, if you look in things like TuneIn and TuneIn Pro and all those kind of apps that people can get on their phones and computers and things. It's massively listened to across the world. It's kind of, you know,
culturally it's so important, and again we've got a lot to thank them for. You know, a lot of our customers that come into the shop will be avid Radio 6 listeners, and I mean, just to share a little story on the whole weekend, those guys, those DJs, and we pretty much met every single Radio 6 DJ at some point. They, you know, it's not like, okay, I'm not on air, so I don't want to look at music or talk about music. Yeah. They are so passionate about music, and they would come across to our stall. They'd make sure they'd say hello. They've heard of us in some form or another. We found out later that all the DJs were having a competition who could buy the best bit of Pine Vinyl merchandise. So we had Stuart McConey with Pine Vinyl bag, Mark Riley pop over with a beanie hat, and so on and so forth. And it just really showed me that these guys that are promoting this music are genuinely passionate about it.
Steve, your favourite event of the year?
Yeah, I've got to say, it's hard not to look past Record Store Day.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, we really wanted to make an event of it. And similar to BBC Six, we're trying to put Portsmouth and Southsea on the map, really. You know, we want to show, we want to beat this apparent stigma that the city has nationally, or you know, perceived by some, shall I say, and show that we can put an event on and there are the people there to support it. So, as in with Radio 6, we were sort of representing the area as much as we were representing ourselves. We had the road closed. We had some fantastic acts play. You touched on the Young Knives, what a performance, so loud. Emily Barker, you know, come down and played again, and such a lovely lady. And just the queue, you know, the memories of someone that's after a 5 seconds of Summer tape next to someone who's after a Jimi Hendrix, after someone who's after, you know, a Zuzu 7-inch next to, you know, all of these different people having to spend a night together stood in the cold. You can't make this stuff up. But all kind of getting on through the absolute love of music, you know. It's just fascinating. And we worked through the night and kind of watching these relationships build. They were watching us, but in fact, we were kind of watching them. I was certainly watching how the 15-year-old just getting into music was kind of communicating with someone that would kind of murder someone to get the REM box set.
Yeah.
But getting on famously and these kind of life situations, I think it's a pretty amazing thing.
There are a lot of family connections in the queue that I picked up on the day. So there were a lot of kind of, literally, a lot of kind of mother and daughter, father and son kind of queuing up to buy or kind of repurchase, if you like, things that they had given away or lost from their album collections that now their offspring wanted to buy for them. And, you know, a real kind of lots of layers to it.
Yeah, so. And I mean, I guess we put a lot of work into this, and as soon as, like we are now, we're already planning for 2015, and again, hopefully we've got the road closed, and we're looking at some pretty big artists and a lot more artists playing on the day.
Even that man on a bike won't be allowed to get through this.
Well, maybe, you know, he's more than welcome, but I'd like to think one day he'll go, "You're great, I'm really enjoying this." Everyone can still boo him, though. so it's just the sheer amount of work we put into it, and it was lovely to see. We didn't really get too much wrong on that day. You know, it went very smoothly. The amount of meetings and planning and work we put into it, it was a great feeling to get to the end of that day and kind of celebrate, because we know we put on a good day and organised everything pretty well. So that is got to be my event of 2014.
Excellent.
With 2015 coming, but I want to mention Southsea Fest as well. Because
you can sneak that in now.
We're going to sneak it in really quick because it was a great day. Our stage ran fantastically. There were a lot of highlights on the stage that day. Mazes were incredible. And it was really good to see Southsea Fest kind of be a bit more professional looking and dare I say, ran this year as well. And I was really pleased with that day as well. Yeah, enjoyed that immensely.
And after that weekend, after the damage that Rad did to his vocal cords, he got some work as a Lou Reed impersonator, I believe.
Oh, you remember that? I had no voice, did I?
Yeah,
He lost so many things. That's in a road right. In Hampshire.
Yeah.
Again, that lyric comes from the past. Right, we're going to move now to an exciting thing. It's a very exciting thing. We should, again, usually we'd have a drum roll, but we don't have a drum kit or a drum player, because they're all, you know, a drummer, I think they call them.
Yeah.
We're going to move to the top 11 records of the year from Pie and Vinyl.
Okay.
Now, Steve is going to explain some of... He's typing away there in the background.
Sorry,
that's
all right,
that adds atmosphere. He's going to explain the context to this. I guess it's a kind of... It's more a role of honour than a competition, isn't it?
It is. I mean, we're not big fans in the shop of choosing just one singular record of the year because that kind of goes against buying records.
Mm.
You know, there's lots and lots and lots released this year, you know, thousands and thousands. And to pick one is always going to be extremely hard. It's been another extremely strong year again. After a lot of debate, we whittled it down to our top 11. The top 11 being influenced by Spinal Tap, where you can turn things up to 11. It just made our lives feel or seem a bit easier.
I knew there was logic.
Of course. There's Pie and Vinyl logic involved. So, we chose our top 11 records. And what we've done, we have now posted those on our website and online. There's also a lovely visual attached to that and in the shop. And we have posted each individual record on Facebook, and we're inviting our customers, anyone that's interested, to like their favourite record out of those top 11 that we've whittled the list down to. We're actually running a competition, so the winning record will obviously be the record with the most likes. The winner we will randomly select from all of those names that have liked, the beauty of Facebook, we know what you're doing. And you will actually win a copy of that record and also a meal voucher. So you can come and experience Pie and Vinyl.
That is a generous incentive.
But please look on our website if I haven't explained that properly or for further information. It's on our news section. So it's a bit of fun, really. And we're not taking it as seriously as some perhaps, but it's been a really strong year. We've got an honorary mentions list as well, and that's essentially everything that we would recommend in the shop, certainly at the moment. So yeah, it's a useful exercise.
Okay, let's dramatically segue now to the top 11.
Top 11.
And Steve, do you want to pick two to start with? You're going to pick a couple? Again, in no particular order.
Yeah, that's right. I won't go on... I'll give you a brief idea of what the record is about. But the war on drugs, it's been mentioned in many top 10 lists this year.
So that's their album, Lost in the Dream.
Lost in the Dream. And it's Adam Grandisheel and... his band, they famously all played with Kurt Vile as part of the Violators. He's got a very Bob Dylan vocal, which people struggle with.
Yeah, it is an interesting mix of things. I mean, I was saying earlier to you that it's an album I've listened to quite a lot now, and there are bits of Dire Straits, and there are bits of the Waterboys in there.
It's so middle of the road,
but
it hurts.
It works.
And it, I think the same as Aerial Pink, they just wrap this surreality around it, this nice kind of almost overproduced sound, which makes it seem surreal, that makes it seem not so obvious by being so obvious, you know.
Yeah.
By sounding so much like Tom Petty, by sounding so much like Bob Dylan. But the production's incredible, and the amount of tiny little bits in there, just a tiny little guitar feel or something like that, just keeps it kind of moving.
And this is their third album. A lot of people think this is a debut album, but
this is
a sound
album
that they've been working on for a while. And I think this is an album that they've got it right with.
Slave Ambience, an incredible record as well, and featured on our top 10 2 years ago. So it's not entirely unexpected at all. It was possibly even more middle of the road on first listen. But yeah, I think it does reward, and you kind of get your head around it. and forgive the absolute obvious influences, I think. So, a very strong record. Second one, an artist, St. Vincent, who again is you know, this is her fifth album.
So this is Annie Clark.
Annie Clark, yeah. And it's a real kind of good listen. It's, I guess, very electronic.
It's quite funky, isn't it?
It is, yeah. There's a kind of Prince element. Mm. There is a David Byrne element. You know, there is a Talking Heads element. I mean, last year she released the album Love Is Giant with David Byrne.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of kind of horns in that, and she's carried that on to this album. But it's really fresh. It's really, really fresh. And what really hammered it home was seeing her play live and how much she's thought about her performance. She's a really good kind of contemporary dancer, or someone's told her to kind of certainly incorporate a contemporary feel to her performance with her keyboardist and fellow guitarist on stage.
I think you're right. I think it is an act rather than songs.
That's
isn't
it. You know, it's kind of Jack White. It's like a lot of they take a character on stage.
Yeah.
And there's some great lyrics in there. You know, take out the garbage, masturbate, and you know, things like that.
Friendly family advice.
Yeah, yeah. On everyday
order. In that order. Is it in that order? Or?
Yeah, it's in that. I'm trying to think the first.
Well, once you've opened your presents and listened to the Queen on Christmas Day, well, you know, maybe that advice.
Take out
that.
The garbage, masturbate. Yeah, it kind of goes like that.
Beautifully rendered.
Thank God for the edit function. I can certainly vouch for her live performance. I mean, I caught her at Glastonbury, and I'd not really listened to St. Vincent a great deal ahead of that, but she was cemented it, you know, as an artist that got respect for and want to explore more. Mostly it was great. Really, really, really good performance.
Now Rad, you're going to give us a couple from the list. This is the from the top 11.
Top 11.
Okay,
what have you got for us
apart from a lap full of beard?
A little bit of beard falling out. Just to describe to anyone listening,
lap full of beard.
Rad's beard is molting slightly. I think it's a seasonal thing.
Beard alopecia. Yeah. You know,
you'd probably get a cream. Get a cream for that.
The stress of choosing.
Again, a great band name would be, wouldn't it?
But, it would. It would.
Okay. Well, there's four records on here that I can't leave alone at the moment, so I'll try and pip Steve to the ones that he's going to pick. I'm going to go with Ought first. Because you just ought to buy this record.
Nice work.
It's a massive wild card. I had heard no hype about this band at all ahead of their release, apart from Steve saying, "You'll like this, Rad," because it's on Constellation. But yeah, I bought the record mostly because of that. So suggestible. I got it home, and it sounds like it couldn't sound further from a Constellation release. Possible, really. Yeah, it's basically in essence a punk album, and I think it's, you can hear so many different influences in the kind of vocals, like from the album for me breaks into thirds, and like the first third of the record sounds very like we talked about David Byrne a minute ago. It sounds very Talking Heads-y.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there are elements of like Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah. Yeah. And if you remember those guys, they're absolutely, you know, awesome band. And then the third, I can't remember what. Just something like just semi-original, I suppose.
Wasn't Polyphonic Spree or someone, was it?
No, it wasn't. But I mean, standout track for me on the record, if I had to pick one, would be Today More Than Any Other Day. It's there's a degree of sarcasm to it that I love. There's a degree of it's playful. It's fast paced. The lyrics are semi-profound. You know, I think it's a really, really good listen. And obviously, because it is a Constellation record, the actual release itself, the physical release itself, they've spared no expense, if you like. They just think about things in a little bit more detail. Card that is used to you know, create the slip is just feels nice. There's a poster included.
It's usually hand printed, stamped.
Yeah,
and
something
things.
Written by hand on there. Yeah. You know, just a lovely thing, really.
People have invested a lot of time and love in it.
Yeah, and I think they've become. They're my unicorn of 2014, because I tried to catch this band live twice throughout this year and massively failed both times. I mean, the first opportunity I had to catch them live was at the Jabberwocky, and I picked Jabberwocky
over. Didn't you go to that? It was so good.
Such a great festival. Yeah. Cheers, Bazza. I picked Jabberwocky over the end of the road, and they played the end of the road as well. And obviously Jabberwocky was cancelled, so that never happened. Massive frustration. And because I'd picked one over the other, and I didn't get my refund in time for Jabberwocky, yeah. I couldn't go to the end of the road. So that was their other performance. So 2015. Or come back to the UK, please.
Come back, or please.
They say in life, don't they, regret things you've done, not things you haven't done.
Yeah.
I think that's an important message.
It is.
Okay.
But particularly
at Christmas
time.
I've got a long
time.
List of regrets then, jeez.
What was your other? What,
my other one, moving swiftly away from that, would be, rather obviously, Ty Segarra's Manipulator.
Hmm. I'm so surprised you said that.
Yeah.
You've hardly mentioned it.
That's why I picked it up first, really. I was just managing to talk about Ty Segarra again. It's been at least 2 days.
This year, on average, every 50th word that comes out of your mouth is Ty Segarra. I've been calculating this. And
I'm not going to go into massive detail then. Listen to the track, feel, buy the record. Or come in on a Saturday and I'll probably be playing it in the store and you'll probably buy it off
you
off
won't
your,
be able to
your
leave
accord,
the shop without
of
one.
Your own accord because the album itself is just full of earworms.
Steve, you've got another couple that you
I've
want
got
to
another couple
throw
yeah
in?
I will try and keep them brief. I spoke earlier about Southsea Fest and the headliners for our stage were Mazes, and they're a band I've been chasing for a while to actually hold down and book, so to finally get them for that was great. They only went and followed it up with one of the records of the year to play on that stage. It's just a real, real hooky album. It flows lovely. I think Salford is a great song. I think that band, you know, you see some band members that when they come together, they've just got something going on. They connect. They've got something on stage.
Yeah.
Jack Cooper.
Chemistry, that's what they call
chemistry,
it.
Chemistry, that's the one. They're just, it's a wonderful sound. It's not going to, you know, change the way you think about music. It's just got all the essential ingredients for things I love in music, basically. It's very hooky, can sing along, the words are thought-provoking. It doesn't take itself too seriously. There is some great guitar work on there. Yeah, I just still, even now, as these words come out of my head, I'm humming the songs. So check it out, it's brilliant. It's a Fat Cat release as well, and we're big fans of that label. Second one, absolutely at the different end of the spectrum, is I'm going to kind of attempt to say a second name. Todd Terje. Now you can say it Terry, you can say it Terje, you can say it in a number of different ways.
Terje.
Yeah, let's go with Terje.
Okay.
And his album, It's Album Time.
It's a good title.
Yeah, it's great. It's a record that sounds so cheesy, sounds so elevator, sounds so supermarket music, sounds so 80s, 90s commercial music. It's untrue. Somehow it really, really works, and he produces something really fresh with it. Again, if dance music can be hummable, this you'd be humming this, and you hum the beats, and you hum the cheesy little synth lines, and you kind of dance along, imagining yourself in flares. It's a fantastic record, yeah, really great listen, really enjoyable. It's one of those that you put on, and you enjoy listening to it. You know, it's a Saturday night record. It's a guy producer, he's been on the radar for a while, he's actually Danish. Or is he Norwegian? God, I should really check these things. Let's go with Danish, because I said it first. It's called It's Album Time, and the cover's great as well, because it's a kind of comic illustration.
Jensen's-esque, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of looks like Leisure Suit Larry, and almost could be the soundtrack to a Leisure Suit Larry computer game. So I'm going to end it there. I can't really say anything better than that. Recommended.
Okay, Rad, you got another couple to mention from the top 11.
Top 11.
Iron Vinyl.
Turn it up to
11. Albums of 2014.
Okay, yeah, my next two would be Goat. Yeah, Goat Commune. That album is... If Todd Terry, or Terj, is the soundtrack to our Tuesday, then the Goat album is the soundtrack to our Monday. Like, I've listened to that record every Monday since it came out. And the team's unanimous in their love for it. Standout tracks... The first track on the album, Talk to God, literally just sets the tone for the remainder of the album. And I think it's, from what I've seen Goat live, I've listened to a little bit of world music. I should listen to a lot more of world music.
It's
I'm
great.
Definitely going to buy world
bloody
music.
Bloody great, yeah.
But from what I have heard, it just seems like a complete natural like continuation of that. It literally is like, that was chapter one, this is chapter two. And, you know, it's just such a consistently lush listen. And to top it off, I think, you know, we've had the Independence Only deluxe edition come in. I think it was £2 more than the standard version. and it came on lush coloured splattered coloured vinyl with a free 7-inch inside as well. So a lot of bang for your buck.
Lovely looking thing, yeah.
Great record, strongly recommend it.
One to treasure.
And then the other would be the age old favourite, which was Shellac's most recent release, Dude Incredible.
That's another one you've endorsed a lot.
I've mentioned it before. What more can one say? Dude, incredible. I think I said that last time. I'm saying it again.
Mm.
Buy that record. Riding bikes is absolutely awesome. And yeah, I'm getting bored of my own fandom of Steve Albini, really. It's frustrating me.
I almost wanted
it to suck a little bit so that I could stop talking about Shellac.
Yeah. I just love that's the only bit of PR he put behind that album was giving it a title.
Mm.
And that's a great thing, he just released it.
Mm.
You know, the Shellac fans will always buy it. He's not really done any interviews. He's just gone, there you go, have a listen.
Mm.
You know, as always, 180 gram, solid record.
Yep.
Came with a CD.
Awesome. Direct.
Artwork is awesome, as always. And there we go. I made a record. Have a listen. I don't need to tell you to listen to it. Have a listen. It's called Dude Incredible. And kind of agree, yeah.
So, Steve, another couple from the list.
Another couple, yeah.
We're nearly there.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll pick two that are very similar and kind of got on the list because they were just too hard to separate. And that's Sharon Van Etten with Are We There?
Mm.
And Angel Olsen with Burn Your Fire for No Witness. Sharon Van Etten, an artist again, that's released a couple of albums behind her. And
she has a great voice.
She's really, really great. A lovely, lovely lady as well. And featured in a lot of end of year lists a couple of years ago with Tramp, recorded with Aaron Jessner from The National. This one she's taken on, it's fairly similar. You know, a heart bleeds in every song pretty much, but lyrically, it's fantastic. I can give you another quote. I love a strong little line, but there's a bit that, talking about relationships, it's every time the sun comes up, and it's a line that doesn't rhyme, but kind of goes...
Families across Portsmouth and Southsea are already holding their breath following the last lyrical quote.
Few people have... It goes, I wash your dishes and I shit in your bathroom.
It's another great family quote.
Yeah. So I like the idea.
What is wrong with you tonight, Stephen?
Well,
I think it's the temperature. God. I think it's affected him slightly.
I'm too hot. Again, if we put it into perspective, it's about relationships and perhaps her partner putting too much pressure on her.
To do the washing up.
Because, well, she looks after him, but... Hey, doesn't it bring it back to reality when you imagine anyone shitting in your bathroom? So I kind of like that.
What a lovely Christmas family message that probably isn't.
Yeah.
We should probably move on to Rad, who the voice of reason. There's another couple from you, Rad, and then we're nearly there. I think there's only sort of...
I think we've just got one.
There's one to go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised I got left with that.
What's this one you've got left with?
I'm glad to be talking about it because it's one of my four, actually. It's Big Ups.
Big Ups,
great band.
Relatively, I think, again, quite a low flying plane on the radar.
Mm.
You know, New York based, and it's so clearly are a New York based band when you listen to it. And I think I was told by multiple people, check this band out, Rad. You're gonna love it. Check this band out. I was like, yeah, sure, cool. I'm gonna get rid of the stack of 50 that I've got to listen to at the moment.
Mm.
And so I didn't. And then my first exposure to Big Ups were when our label boys, Ricky Fitz, supported them in Bournemouth. And, absolutely blew me away. I mean, they're, you know, great bunch of guys, but the actual album itself, it's got like such a kind of intense, like mechanical feel to it in the way that it just drones out, like the riffs and bass lines and stuff like that have got this kind of, just an intensity to it that totally ticks my boxes.
Mm. And that's quite a raw sound. It's not produced in that way, is it?
It's not overproduced, it's not underproduced. It's punk production, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know, it's they play their instruments and let their instruments. I mean, it's got like a strong rhythm to it, and you know the talent is clearly there to be seen. So it's not like
Black Flag, Fugazi meets Slint.
It's very similar to Shellac, really. I hear Shellac in it in places, you know.
Yeah.
But it's been suggested to me, and I think if you hadn't seen I'd seen the band live the first time I heard them their material. So what I'm about to say. You know, the kind of game was given up straight away. But there's a degree of sarcasm to that record.
Oh, yeah.
And I think maybe on first or second listen, you might not pick up on that sarcasm. you just take it for what it was. And then if somebody else suggested to you that there was a degree of sarcasm, then you start to look at it differently. Having seen it live, it can't be contrived as anything but sarcasm, because the front man is literally kind of microphone lead wrapped around your head while, you know, microphone's
he's
half
great.
In and half out of your mouth.
Yeah.
While you know, very very charismatic front man. But your standout track for that record would be Justice. Just check it out. It's
have
a
you got
record.
A rude quote from that song?
Yeah, multiple. You know, I often burst out. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to swoop to your level, Mr. Cornell.
If you had just one wish,
I'd wish for this. I'd wish for Justice.
Oh,
so there we've
done it, and that's clean.
So yeah, it's a great record. Check it out. I think. Pretty sure it's called green vinyl as well, isn't it?
It is UK only as well.
Vinyl,
yeah,
green,
lovely luminous green vinyl
at Christmas. So let's just remind folks the top 11 records,
top
albums
11.
Of 2014
yeah,
from Pie and Vinyl. Just remind folks of the process.
Yeah.
What happens at the end of it once you've liked it on Facebook?
Once you've liked it on Facebook, we will select a name from everyone that's voted. It's not necessarily the one from the winning record that have voted. So everyone is considered to win this prize. The winner will win a copy of the People's Choice, the 2014 Pie and Vinyl Record of the Year. You'll win a hard copy of that, and you will also win a meal voucher. So you can come in, have pie and mash on us. Not actually on us, but with us.
And
does that make sense?
Your 12-inch, you know, 12-inch wares.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is an excellent thing to get involved in, and you can find out more information on that on the website, which is
yeah.
pieandvinyl.co.uk. There are some other albums that we need to mention. I was very quiet during that, you might have noticed.
Mm.
So I was sitting back absorbing the expertise and the knowledge
the disgust
gushed
in your
from
face.
Your beards,
yeah,
and some of the language as well. But you know, I'm broad-shouldered. There are a couple of things I wanted to mention. One, I said to you guys earlier on today, there's one album that's kind of stuck in my mind this year. It's a strange one for me. It's not one I really kind of thought I would like in some ways. A bit unconventional in terms of some of the things that I listen to. But it's the album In the Silence, which is by Asgeir, I believe that's how it's pronounced, who's an Icelandic gent, and it's a really interesting background to this album. It's an album that he originally recorded in Icelandic, in his native tongue, if you like, and he worked with John Grant in terms of translating and kind of reinterpreting some of the songs, and the result of that was this album, In the Silence. It's a great listen, because as you listen to it, you realise there's a kind of militaristic theme about the album, but it's really about kind of love and war, which is a strange kind of
amplified from hate, isn't it?
Mix of things,
love
yeah.
And
so
war.
It's a great thing to check out. If you haven't come across it already, then I'd recommend it. But there's a kind of reissue, kind of joint version that's coming out towards, well, it's out now, I think, you know, for the Christmas period.
Yeah,
if you like,
it's out.
Which is a double pack, if you like, the new album, i.e., the English language album with John Grant, who kind of produced it, and the original Icelandic version as well. So that's one I would recommend checking out. The other ones I wanted to mention were the album that Gruff Rhys put out, which is the American Interior album, which came out, I think, May time this year, his fourth solo album, and really interesting concept album about an explorer, John Evans, sometime in the 18th century, who went out to kind of find a lost Welsh-speaking American tribe.
Yeah. It's a relative of his.
Which is a relative of his.
Yeah.
There's a film and a book associated with the album as well.
Mm.
An album, again, that I didn't really think I'd be kind of picking up, but it's a great listen, and it's really kind of, it's nicely done, it's quite intricate, but it's very accessible in terms of, you know, it's a good listen. So, the obvious one for me, I'm a big Morrissey fan, there was a huge Morrissey release this year, great album from
yeah,
him.
Yeah, it's good.
World Peace is None of Your Business.
Yeah.
And the other one we were talking about was the War Paint release, which I
yeah.
think is on your notable mentions.
It is, Morrissey's on there as well. Yeah, great listen, love that War Paint. So funky, so hip-hop based, but so lazy and slack. Yeah, it's great. Came out right at the start of the year, and perhaps that didn't do it loads of favours. It was literally in the first couple of weeks of January. I love that band, and if you get a chance to see them live, wow, they are so good.
As this is a piecast, we could not move forward without mentioning Pies. I think it's a statutory requirement that we mention Pies, and we therefore move towards favourite Pies of 2014. And Rad, I'm going to pick on you first. Because you look like a pie muncher.
I'll take it. I often have a pie in my hole. My favourite, it's actually been a Christmas special, is the Pie and Vinyl's very own Fairy Tale in New Pork.
Yum.
Which, I like what you did there. Fairy Tale in New Pork.
Fairy Tale in New Pork. I think I named that one, didn't I?
Let's say yes.
I'll take that as well. Yeah, probably Rob. But
you get the royalties quick. I say get the royalties quick.
It's pulled pork and sweet kind of festive based vegetables, so dates and almonds and
gorgeous, isn't it?
Whole oranges and melon and banana. And,
it's just and that's another
just yeah. over Christmas. Doesn't, that's available.
Disclaimer: doesn't contain any of the above. it's a really tasty pie. Get it while it's going. Because it won't, you know, Christmas will
it's just a pass Christmas by, special, yeah.
And that'll be the end of that one. And that's probably the other reason I love it, because I know it's limited. I know it's. Yeah.
My favourite, I'm going to choose the Heidi pie, okay? Which is, again, is a great name, which has goat's cheese in it, sweet potato, and spinach, and some other things. I think it's got onion and garlic.
Yeah, roasted vegetables, onion, red onion, garlic,
That is a very
sesame
nice.
Sesame seed on the top. It's a classic. Nice veggie classic, that one. But never Steve, go wrong.
You are what I would call the Pie Master General. That's your new title.
Oh, thank you very much.
So the important question is, what have you chosen as a favourite for 2014?
I like the sausage roll. No, I like the Sub Pop pie, actually.
Sub Pop pie?
Which I will give Rad some credit for here, because he actually came up with the ingredients. And I'm very privileged. I get to talk to a lot of the labels quite often. And I put forward an idea with Sub Pop, to see if they would be receptive to us making a very special pie in their honour. And they certainly were, and that travelled all the way back to base in Seattle. They got the go-ahead there for us to go ahead and create a Sub Pop pie. And Rad had an idea to use one of our cordials, which ended up being our Dandelion and Burdock cordial, soaking it in pork. And that formed the basis of the Sub Pop pie.
And the general rationale was the Sub being the Great American Sandwich and Pop being the Great American Fizzy Drink. So we Dandelion and Burdock being our Victorian spin.
Yeah, I'm proud to say it's now on the menu for good, and it's one of our best sellers. Yeah. So it's a lovely pie, and it's nice to have that musical link as well. So yeah, that's going to be my pie of the year.
Did one travel across the pond, or do we know how?
I wish. No.
We could just post it in an envelope to them.
Yeah,
and see
if
what
only
we'll get
we
one taxidermy
kind of
and send it over.
Yeah, we'll get one.
one day, we'll surprise them. But they were very happy with that, so it worked very well. And they sent us a few prizes and bits and bobs to launch it on Record Store Day. So, yeah, we love Sub Pop, and it's good to show our love.
Excellent. So we're going to wrap up this podcast by talking about some of the releases that are coming next year, and also some key events that are coming up in the next couple of months. We like to, at this time of the year, have a guess, a prediction, a forecast about something in music that may happen. We were very lucky last year, we think, because we suggested David Bowie, the arch goblin of pop, would rise once more from the volcano with his tunes that make people dance and follow. And he did. He did.
He really
He's
did.
Also released a fabulous kind of best of collection called Nothing Has Changed, with all changed versions of his songs. Very clever. I'm going to predict that PJ Harvey is going to collaborate with a pop god and make a disco record.
Wow.
Okay.
That's quite a precise prediction there.
Is that like the
I felt it in the fog.
The reverse of Nick Cave and Kylie Minogue, is it? There's all links all over there, isn't there?
So, could be. I don't want to say anymore.
Did you have a dream about this last night?
I'm going to say one name, Darren Day, is all I'm going to say. And then I'm going to leave Rad to throw a prediction our way.
Oh, good God. prediction. Oh, well, I can't think of one, so I'm going to go with a hope instead.
Okay.
I'm going to go with, I think it'd be absolutely fab if we could get a new Grinderman record. So, Nick Cave, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, can we please have a new Grinderman record? Can you make that so?
With a fearsome wolf on the cover?
No, I don't care if it's got nothing on the cover. As long as it's as ferocious and fierce and profound and, generally abusive and offensive as the first one and the second one.
I'd be up for that, but I fear he's mellowing.
No, prove James wrong. Come on, Nick.
Steve.
Okay, well, you look at the legends, you look at Bob Dylan, he's got a new album out next year, no surprise there. Leonard Cohen, he put an album out this year. Neil Young regularly releases albums yearly. We're kind of running out of big legends to make a comeback, so I'm going to take it down a few levels.
Sue Pollard.
Sue Pollard, she's busy, Tom. She's busy. She's actually ironically working full-time as a cleaner now, cleaning out holiday camp chalets.
Never too late for that comeback.
No, she's an expert. But yeah, I've got to say, you know, it's long time been rumoured since they got back together to play a few shows. The Stone Roses have apparently been working on an album. Yeah, I can see that happening. I can also see happening another gent that we've been lucky enough to have a bit of interaction with this year, which is Damon Albarn and Blur. There could be a possibility of a new Blur album. And while we're keeping it Britpop, Radiohead are rumoured to be working and recording in the studio. Johnny Greenwood's just done the soundtrack to Inherent Vice, which is a great film.
And what about events and in-stores? We got anything we can spill or anything we're after?
Well, I could share a bit of news with you, actually. It's quite sad. I'll bring the tone down slightly. We actually had Gravenhurst books for January the 15th, and he recently passed away at the age of 37. So it was a funny feeling knowing that a guy was going to kind of play in the store that actually passed away. So, you know, we're huge fans of Gravenhurst, so... as is the whole country was, so our thoughts and love go out to him. But it's very early on, but we may well have a Scottish band I absolutely love called the Twilight Sads coming down. It's not confirmed, so let's not quote me on this, but yeah, we've got the Twilight Sads coming to play an in-store, so yeah, there'll be news on that very soon. We've got a whole bunch of things. We don't sleep at Pie and Vinyl, so start of the year there'll be quite a few exciting announcements, and that should be one of them.
That's reassuring to hear. I think that's just about it for this podcast. So it's for me to say thanks to Steve and thanks to Rad.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You can check out all of the fun things that go on in Pie and Vinyl at pieandvinyl.co.uk.
Yeah.
And you've done a Christmas message already, which is brilliant. And people can listen back to some of those lovely lyrics that you teased out of some of the great albums of the year.
I think
I will cherish that. So thanks to both of you. Hope you have a great Christmas and a very happy new year, and I shall look forward to 2015, the year of pie and greatness.
Well,
it's a new franchise I'm building up. What do you think?
It's a type of gravy greatness we're going to launch. Yeah, onwards and upwards. See, who knows, we're lucky enough to still be here, so thank you everyone for your support in 2014. It's been a pleasure, and we're very excited about 2015. Merry Christmas.